Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to X Players, the podcast where we talk about all things Xbox. I'm Alex, and as always, joining me today is Tyler. In this episode, we will look at all the latest news, including Starfield finally getting a release date, Redfall's excellent previews, and of course, the very latest in Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard. We will also discuss what that means for Xbox Game Pass and in future editions, and all our... Right, we're going to talk about Game Pass, we're going to talk about what we're playing, and it's me and Tyler and a bit of news. That's the third time I've done this, and I'm not doing it again. Hello, Tyler, how are you?
Struggling to keep my breath after that.
Turns out I can't read. Yeah.
Tell you what, next time I'll do the intro for you.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah, you're doing 80% of the heavy lifting on this podcast. I might as well try and chip in where I can.
So how you been? It's been a wee while. My fault mainly, but it's been a wee while.
Nice. It happens. It's being a grown up and having children and getting ill like children make you.
Yes, I've had a lot of that the last few days. Unpleasant.
That's all right. You got plenty of options to just hide in bed and play on now. So
yeah, a lot of handhelds.
Think of all the xCloud you can play on all those peripherals.
Oh yeah, need to get that Steam Deck working. Need to get it optimized and raring to go. But that's for another podcast. Maybe a Steam Deck one, try and steal Max's Steam Deck podcast, but hey ho. Anyway, shall we jump into some news? Because as I've said, there's quite a bit already to talk about. So first off the block, Starfield has a date. Excellent, finally. Technically a delay, isn't it? Technically. Well, yeah. It's been delayed. Can you delay something that didn't have a date, even though they just intimated it would be the first half of the year? But 6th of September 2023 is the day we will finally get to play Starfield.
Yeah, and I'm ultimately not unhappy with that. I think there are too many dates between now and the end of Q2, calendar-wise, this year, that would have probably, for me at least, taken precedence over Starfield. So kicking it back to like September, when I think is probably a little bit of it's the sort of calm before the storm, like calendar-wise and release-wise. Like you haven't got all of the big Christmas stuff starting to roll in, and you've had like what is for some reason like this March to June sort of window is massive this year. Like, you know, we've just had Resident Evil, playing the Diablo beta, that's June. Zelda's May. There's something else that's big, like a week either side of Zelda that I'm...
I've got Redfall.
Yeah, Redfall.
Mate. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. But yeah, there's so much else going to be in that sort of like 2 month period that they're probably almost, even if it had been polished and finished, they're probably best just kicking it back a few months and letting it have the spotlight.
Yeah. And I think it makes perfect sense to polish this as much as possible. Like, this needs to be shining. This needs to be gleaming because we've waited so long for this game that it can't come out in a buggy mess. It can't come out with, you're not going to get that leeway. It's going to be very much, we now want a product which is, I'm not saying it needs to be perfect because perfection just isn't a thing anymore, but it needs to be in a very, very good state given how long we've now waited for this game.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, ultimately it's Bethesda. I don't think there's ever been a game they've released that hasn't had things that need fixing at launch. But in the same breath, I wouldn't have enjoyed Fallout 4 as much if I hadn't played it on release with some of the funny, silly little glitches that ultimately made it a little bit easier. So I'm kind of, you know, Bethesda going to be Bethesda. And, you know, people will make the most of it. I'll probably be one of them. Just enjoy it.
Yeah. And we know we have a date, we can look forward to it. It's not that far away. The way this year's going, September will be here before we know it. I mean, we're already almost in April, which is scary to say the least. So it's not far. But I think where my concern from this comes now is like, okay, that's been pushed to September. we still don't know when Forza's coming. What does that mean for Forza? Does Forza slot in front of it and maybe come in June? Does Forza now slot a way out further to the back end of the year to your October, November time, which seems to have been rumoured? Now I'm a bit worried about that because I really want Forza. I'm also then, if Forza does get pushed out to that end of the year, does that mean we don't get anything else this year? I mean, that showcase now coming in June really needs to deliver more games, I think. I think if you now say that the only games we get this year are the ones that we knew about that were coming this year, when that was supposed to be the first half of the year, are people then going to start, is it just kicking the can further down the road rather than saying, right, well, this is ready, so do we get a Hellblade? I think Hellblade should be coming this year. That's
where I feel. I wonder if that's the big thing they talk about in June in terms of something we know about, and that hits that October, November time, because it's not, let's be honest, like the first Hellblade wasn't a summery game. It's a game you played in the dark with set headphones on, which you're less likely to do in the summer. So slotting that into a winter window feels logical. I think the acquisition, which, you know, I know we're going to get on to, the acquisition dictates a lot now. If they can hit their completion date, which is like around the time of that June showcase, then that's where we get something big. They turn around and they go, yeah, okay, you know, Forza is out next week. Oh, and by the way, everything ABK is on Game Pass like August.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's their like their home run hit if everything goes to plan, and if for whatever reason everything coming to Game Pass gets pushed out 3 months, they'll pull something else forward. And I'm kind of wondering if that's why they haven't given us a date for Forza, because they're going to give it its own spotlight away from all of the Activision stuff coming to Game Pass, as if when whatever that gets signed off.
Yeah. And I also wonder whether they didn't give a date for Forza because they didn't know where the date for Starfield was going to fall. And they didn't want to, whether it was to pull it forward rather than back. But I feel now that, given it's been a few weeks now since Starfield got dated, that if that was the case and Forza was ready to come in June, we'd probably know about it by now. But who knows?
You say that though. Like, look at the reaction that Shadow Dropping Hi-Fi Rush got. Are they going to do that? Because Shadow Dropping Forza at the end of the showcase in June would make huge waves.
Yeah. That would be nice. That would be very nice. Because I just, as I say, I can't wait to get my mitts on that game, my hands on my steering wheel and get around those tracks. Like, I'm ready for that so much. And I think that's probably why I'm a bit more pessimistic about it, because that's the one that I really want. I know not that many people really want Forza Motorsport, but since I've seen that in that trailer and from the showcase last year, I've been desperate to play that game. So the sooner the better for me. But
yeah, but I mean, you've got there's the expansion for Horizon 5, like literally in the next few days.
Yeah,
like, that'll tide you over for a little bit. I'm excited about that. I'm so excited about that. I played something else recently for like 3 or 4 days just to get in the swing ready for that, because I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, that'd be good. And I think we did mention Hellblade there, and I think probably it would be rude not to mention the new footage that we've seen of Hellblade this week as part of the Unreal presentation at Games Developers... I cannot talk tonight. Game Developers Conference. So at GDC, they did show... Basically, it was almost like a tech demo of Unreal Engine 5, but it was the mocap that Ninja Theory have been doing on Hellblade. And oh my God, it's incredible.
It's only slightly terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hellblade 1 was exceptional, and I really can't criticise a lot about it, because as a game, but as an experience as well, it is just exceptional. And I think it's one of those games where I feel like having the detail and the realism and stuff is only going to enhance that experience this time around, assuming they're going to go with a similar sort of approach where it's as much about what's going on and the atmosphere and all of that as it is the actual gameplay.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to a quote that the Ninja Theory co-founder said a while back now, but it was like, they didn't want it to be a straight sequel. They wanted to do something extra special and make their lives as difficult as possible. And I think when you see footage like this, you can see how much effort they are putting into making this game special. I just hope that's how it turns out. But I also would quite like to see it quite soon, because it has been a while since we've even known and seen this game for the first time. So it's been a wee while, and I still think we do see this for Christmas. I think we see this November time. I think this is the one that does come this year. I don't think anything else will come this year. I don't think anything else we know about will come this year. I think you might get some little hi-fi rushes in there somewhere. I think you might, or Pentiments or those type of games, I think we might see another one or two of them this year. But I think from a big game perspective, this will be the only other one that we see in 2023.
Yeah, I'd have said that's a fair assessment. I don't think we get anything else big first party from Microsoft. And I think it's these third parties, like you say, like Hi-Fi Rush, stuff like that will be the other surprises we get.
Yeah.
I think they're probably holding on to a few of those cards.
Yeah, and they're quite right to do so, because I think if they've got them up their sleeves, then and look at the hype it creates, as you said, around Hi-Fi Rush. So see that in the trailer, see it in a conference, and I'm like, oh, by the way, it's available, then you're going to go and play it. Like, why not?
Of course you are. Like, look what that's done, not only for Microsoft, but, like, you know, Microsoft did an exceptional job of it with Hi-Fi Rush, because it dominated the zeitgeist for, what, a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Which it would not have got if there'd been all this build-up for it. And then Nintendo did it with Metroid Prime, like, a month later? And again, the same thing. Everyone's gone from a game that would probably have been like, oh, shit, this is really cool, to, wow, this is amazing and incredible. And, like, 30 minutes after the Direct, how many of us had bought it digitally and started playing it?
Yeah, I know. Definitely worked.
Yeah, that's the effect that these things have. And Microsoft have, you know, I think they've probably cottoned onto that now, and they will do stuff like they did with Hi-Fi Rush maybe a couple of times a year.
Yeah. So speaking of games that are probably going from cool to, oh, this is really great, Redfall. So the first previews came out for Redfall this week, and they have been incredibly positive, which many would have predicted. Many were, this game's probably, I feel like, had quite an unfair amount of criticism since it's been announced. I think people seem to forget how good a studio Arkane are, and haven't trusted Arkane and what they're doing with this game. And I think these previews seem to have rectified that, and I think we're getting the kind of level of hype and the level of excitement for this game that it deserves, I think. I mean, I know we hadn't seen a lot of it, which is then hard to get out, but I think you need to trust in Arkane, because they've not had many misses.
No, and they have not missed, I don't think, up to this point. I can't think of any game they've released that's not been exceptionally well received. And I think the scepticism is because they're doing something different. But ultimately, like, you can't expect them to just make the same game with a different setting or with its own unique selling point again and again. And I applaud them for branching out and trying something else, especially because it looks like they're going to do a fucking good job of it.
Yeah. I'm just going to go through a few of the comments that I've seen from kind of some of the leading websites. So VGC said, while hardcore fans may be a little disappointed at this less system-driven approach, Redfall is shaping up to be the studio's strongest shooter to date. Melding the studio's attention to detail with guns that pack a punch feels like a recipe for the cult curio developer to have a long-awaited commercial success. God is a Geek said, there's so many questions I have about Redfall after playing it. I didn't get a sense of scale for how big or how long the game might be. I didn't get a chance to try co-op and see how well everything links up, and I only managed to try out Layla, and Jacob really does look awesome. But now I firmly say I know what kind of game it is, and Arkane continues to be one of the developers in the industry that have my trust, and I'd be stunned if it didn't end up being a serious Game of the Year contender, as it may yet. I mean, that's the kind of comment I didn't expect to see about this game, but to see it, you're like, good. Like, you want these games to have that level of hype. I'll just pick out one other here. Polygon said, overall, the gameplay loop for the slice of Redfall I got to play felt pretty standard for an open world shooter, but it was still interesting to see Arkane's take in the genre by combining M-Sim elements with an asymmetric complementary class system. So not quite as shining. So you're not going to get everyone saying, oh my god, this is amazing. But it's still an overall incredibly positive view of the game at this stage. And it makes you, I mean, we're 5 weeks away. It's really not far now, which is good to finally see one of these big games hitting.
God, it's terrifying. It's only 5 weeks away. I've not yeah. a lot of time for me to play through. I think Kevin Scully recommended Deathloop if I'm only going to play through one arcane game between now and then. So it's not a lot of time for me to get through that with the amount of actual time I'm getting for it at the moment. But yeah, I want to have a bit more. I want to have some more grounding in like what arcane are like and how their stuff works, because I've not played enough of their games. I've played bits of them and watched bits, but I want to really like have an understanding of where they're coming from.
Yeah. I think Deathloop, I don't think it's the longest. I don't think it takes that long a game to complete. I think it's about 20 hours, I think, and get through it in, if even that, maybe even quicker. As if I'm saying as if I've played it, I did buy it on PS5 and it's still up on my shelf behind me and never been in it even since it came to Game Pass. I've still not played it, but I will play it eventually, I promise. But I've played some of their other games and they are really good. I think hearing what people have said about this, I do feel far more interested in Redfall than I thought it was. Like, it just sounds like how the missions seem like they've been built up, seem like there's a good bit of humour to it, as well as that kind of seriousness. It seems to have the right character for me. Even just that whole staking of the heart of the vampires and stuff just sounds incredibly satisfying. Like, yeah, they just definitely seem to have done a very good job. But the one thing that maybe didn't concern me, but I did take note of a few people saying it, is that it feels like it has been built for co-op and then optimised for single player rather than the other way around. So like some of the characters maybe don't feel as well attuned to being a single player campaign mode, as they all feel like they more complement each other in a co-op run.
But that's not such a bad thing, to be fair, because I think you get a lot more success taking something with the intention of it being co-op and then making the single player fit, rather than trying to go the other way. And especially for something that, like, with it being on Game Pass, you're going to have an instant audience that's much, much, much bigger. So you're going to have that co-op ability. I suppose the bit I want to see is, how does the co-op work with, you know, can you have random matchmaking? Can you do that as an option? And if you can, how does that work? Like, can it be played cooperatively with people you've never met, don't know, and potentially don't have a, you know, a voice chat option for? Because that's what's let other games down that are not dissimilar.
Yeah. And they have confirmed, like, it's cross-play with all... So it's cross-play between the Xbox, PC, and across Steam and Epic's Game Store and everywhere it's available. So at least wherever you choose to play it, you'll be able to play it with all of your friends on wherever they are playing it, which is becoming far more the standard for Xbox games now, which is good to see.
Yeah.
So you're not just no, I was going to say stuck with PC Game Pass. That sounds very...
It's not the matchmaking crass, isn't pulled. Yeah, you're not stuck per platform. So if it ends up, you know, with a really good community on one platform, but, you know, Xbox a month later shadow drops something else, you're not going to just lose all your player base because they've moved on to something else. If you've got Steam and Epic, you know, players on there as well, the community is going to stay bigger for longer. It just makes sense to do it in this day and age.
Yeah. And the other thing just to mention is they get quite a bit of criticism but needing the always on internet connection, but they have now said for the single player they're working to remove that, which is good to hear, because I don't see why you need these things for like a single player experience. I understand it for co-op, etc., you need to be online, but for a single player game you don't. So
yeah, it's nice to see them like responding positively to criticism like that. That's a good sign.
Yeah. No, it is definitely, rather, because they could have easily just ignored that fact, but at least they're listening, which is always nice to hear. Right, you ready, Tyler? It's that time. It's that time.
It's your specialist subject.
Oh, it's fine, because it's almost over. So, and this week's update, 5,361 of the acquisition of Activision Blizzard King by Microsoft, we have finally, I feel like we've made a wee bit of progress. Do you think that too? Do you think this is progress?
I feel like this is the start of it all just being fucking over with.
Yeah. So basically what's happened in the last few days at time of recording is the CMA have come out and republished their initial findings on the matter to basically say that They have reached the provisional conclusion that overall the transaction will not result in a substantial lessening of competition in relation to console gaming in the UK. And this is down to evidence presented to them as part of the ongoing deliberations with the various parties, etc. And I think ultimately what it comes down to is a mistake in their maths and their initial, some of their initial reports that were basically had different basis of preparations and some of the numbers that they put out there, which is now proven that no, it wouldn't make financial sense for Microsoft to just cut out Call of Duty and all other platforms, because it would be loss making, which they've said all along and they've never listened. So
yeah.
I think this was the big hurdle that had to be overcome. I think the other hurdle is the cloud gaming one, and I think all the remediation points and remediation actions that they put in place around all these deals that they've done with like cloud gaming platforms that you've never heard of in your puff, probably do enough to alleviate that one. I think you can do deals with as many cloud gaming platforms as you want, but Microsoft and Azure kind of are going to own cloud gaming whether you like it or not, and I don't think Activision Blizzard is going to make much difference in that. But I think this console point was this was the one that felt like it could be that bump in the road and this could derail the deal, but I think it's kind of over. And the CMA were the one driving it, and I think you're just going to see everyone else then kind of follow suit. So
yeah, and hopefully it's not like where in the US they've taken, is it the FTC they've taken to court over it? Because they're like,
yeah,
you've got a fucking clue what you're talking about. I'm hoping that, you know, I think the European authority now would be like, yeah, do you know what? There's a fair point, they'll let it go. And I think the US will be the only one where there might be a little bit more back and forward, but it's not going to be a problem. I just can't see enough justification for it not going ahead. Like Jim Ryan is just going to have to he's going to have to throw a real tantrum and pay off a lot of people if he genuinely expects anything but this to go ahead now.
Nah, I think they know the game's up, and I think just to look at some of the quotes that came out after this.
The Microsoft response one is amazing.
Yeah,
like, I feel like there is someone on their social media team that is like completely making this as funny as they can while keeping it serious.
And then I think it's that, so there's the CTO or the CEO, I can't remember, the Activision woman who keeps tweeting out
She's the lawyer that I'm going to have to look this up now. She's the lawyer that Microsoft has, like, they brought on because she was, if I'm right, she was the one that was involved in the NVIDIA ARM thing, and then Microsoft got her on board for this. And the woman is an absolute beast. Like, she's excellent.
She just takes no prisoners. But I think some of the things that then Microsoft and Activision responded to this. So Activision came out and said, the CMA's updated provisional findings show an improved understanding of the console gaming market and demonstrate a commitment to supporting players and competition. Sony's campaign to protect its dominance by blocking our merger can't overcome the fact, and Microsoft has already presented effective and enforceable remedies to address each of the CMA's remaining concerns. We know the deal will benefit competition, innovation and consumers in the UK, which, yeah, fine. And Microsoft have essentially said the same. They said, we appreciate the CMA's rigorous and thorough evaluation of the evidence and welcome its updated provisional findings. This deal will provide more players with more choice in how they play Call of Duty and their favourite systems. We look forward to working with the CMA to resolve any outstanding concerns. So it very much feels like we're in the end game now. Finally, we can stop talking about it. And we'll hopefully have Diablo 4 on Game Pass, which everyone now wants because everyone's loving it.
Absolutely. Just to correct, like I've just looked up, you were right, she's the EVP of Corporate Affairs for Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's excellent.
I do like her. So hopefully that's going to be, I'm not saying it's going to be the last few times we'll talk about it, but given the next 6 to 8 weeks, most of these findings will be final. The decisions will be made, and I feel now we're back on track for that June completion. I think
I'd like
kind
to,
of there.
Yeah. So because they said what most of the authorities, was it the European or the CMA one? It's like we want a decision by mid-April.
I think the CMA was supposed to be about the 26th of April, and I think they pushed it back into May.
okay.
So I think they pushed it, but I think it's around May we should have most of the decisions, and I still think once the decisions are made, all the formalities around getting the completion done will still be ongoing in the background. So I think once the approvals are in, the deal will just...
Yeah, it's just a case of signing and paying at that point. Yeah. I wonder what date then is realistic to expect this stuff to be on Game Pass. Like, do we expect everything to be in place that we have Diablo on Game Pass, like, on release day? Or that is going to be a little bit later?
I think that'll all depend on what deals are in place already. I don't think you could sit here and speculate saying they can put that straight on Game Pass. There might be stipulations and contracts with Sony and stuff that have been pre-existing that say, no, that cannot go on Game Pass for XYZ amount of time or whatever. Depends when those deals were done, to be fair, because there's not exactly much love lost between Activision and Sony anymore. So we'll see. But that's the games, that's the news and the games that we will be playing. But let's have a quick chat about what we have been playing. We'll just make it quick because I don't think either of us have had that much time. I'll go first. I had hoped to be talking about Diablo 4 because it was the open beta this weekend, but I've not had any time to play it, which has been a bit of a shame. But what I have played a little bit of, and this releases just after this podcast, it's the 30th of March. Today's the 26th. Yeah, that's right. So I've been playing Dredge. And this is one that wasn't really on my radar. I kind of seen this. It was a little bit of a, oh, it's a fishing sim. That seems a bit random, not really my thing. And then all the reviews and everything started coming out. I'm like, this looks quite interesting. And it is quite interesting. So you are basically... I'm only a few hours in, so I can't say too much about it. And I don't think it's a hard one to describe, but you're basically... You're out and you kind of, it starts off and you're in your little boat and you hit the rocks in a stormy night in this, near this lighthouse, and you wake up in this little town, which all seems a little bit untoward and something's not quite right, and you have to start going doing all these different quests to like go and catch fish, sell fish, pay off a loan, all very almost like Animal Crossing-y in terms of going do these little tasks to pay off the loan to this person, but with a really weird undertone. And then but it all changes if you go out at night, and it's like the world just becomes almost a little bit horror-esque. And I think it's trying to go horror-esque. I wouldn't say it's overly horror-y, it's just probably very eerie is a better way of putting it. But you start kind of meeting all these different characters and putting little bits of the story together, and it's all about all these different little islands that you can go to and explore, and then you need to maybe like find certain fish that you can only find at night. But if you go out to try and find these fish at night, then different things are going to happen in the world, whether it be like sea creatures coming or there's these like ghost ships that just kind of start attacking you. And you're almost the boat, although you are a fisherman, you feel like you're the boat because you never really see this fisherman other than like this little picture when you're kind of having some of the chat and the dialogue coming up. But you feel like you're the boat and you're just sailing around in the boat, and you need to do enough to unlock your like maybe better engines to make the boat go a little bit faster, or better fishing rods or different types of fishing rods to be able to like attract and fish for different types of fish or nets, things like that. You can then go into the dry dock to upgrade your boat and your hull so you can store more, and it's that whole like puzzle type, like each of the fish will be like a different number of squares or a different shape, and then you need to fit it in how many you hold, and it is almost like those little
infantry
puzzles like Resident Evil.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's bits of that, and it's all about the different characters and stuff that you feel and starting to kind of peel back the layers of this world. And it's really interesting, like for a game that you would really probably dismiss, it's not one you should dismiss. I think it's one that a lot of people will find a lot of
there's a lot to worth like about it, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, there is. There's definitely a lot to like about it. As I've not finished it, so I can't sit here and go, it's an 8 out of 10, a 9 out of 10, but it's definitely a game that has surprised me. Even like that simple loop around like, your fishing is just, it's like each fish has probably got a different pattern in terms of how you just need to hit the button in time to like fully pull the rod out. But then it's other things. You then get a crank to try and dig for treasure, and it's all about like a slightly different type of puzzle to do that. And there's just, there's a lot of different layers to it. And I would definitely, I would recommend this game to anyone that's maybe kind of sitting going, no, that looks quite interesting. Take a punt. I don't think you'll regret it. It's one of those indie games. I think this is going to be one of the big indie games of the year. I think it's going to do really well.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And looking at the art style looks really interesting and fun. And from what you're saying there, like there's so many different interesting mechanics that no matter what sort of games you enjoy, there will be at least a few of those mechanics that are something you like.
Yeah.
So like even if, you know, if you don't like the inventory organization, you've still got the fishing sim. If you don't like the creepiness, you've still got all of the other, like all of the mechanical elements of the game. Like there's something, there's some element of that game that sounds like it will work for everyone.
Yep. I think, yeah, that's it. I think you find something in this game you like, and it maybe doesn't properly hit into the horror tones that it maybe wants to go into, but it's certainly got enough eeriness about it that it just makes it that little bit dark, which is nice.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So yeah, that's been it for me. I'm saying that's all I've had time for. I think I have spent a lot of time playing PSVR 2 recently, so my Xbox time has been slightly neglected, and I'm sorry, poor Xbox. I will make it up to you sometime. But yeah, it's been fairly quiet. What about you, Tyler? What have you been up to playing?
I haven't picked up anything big story-wise, but I've kind of like dabbled in a bunch of stuff that I can play for 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, and then not touch again for like 2 weeks, just drop back into. So like anything with an overarching story kind of doesn't really fit my playing habits at the moment. So I played a good few hours of Fortnite. So new season's come out. Maps change quite dramatically in a very cool way. Like it's very like cyberpunky Neo Tokyo, which I'm a huge fan of aesthetically. And I've been having a lot of fun with that side of it. Like grind rails and energy swords and all that kind of fun stuff. Just epic, absolutely smashing it as they have, you know, they almost have done nonstop with Fortnite. They are just doing such an excellent job with that game.
Is this the update that's bringing the first person mode? Does that come in as a later part of this season, or is it? Because they did announce that, didn't they?
They've not said when it's coming, I don't think, but it was leaked, and then they're like, yes, this is a thing that exists, but I don't know that there's a date on it yet. It's certainly not available for the time being. But I think with the amount of content they've added for this season, they kind of don't need to. There's enough to keep people very interested. I do want to try the first person thing. I think it gives it a very different dimension, like almost to the extent that having the zero build mode added, in terms of like, you know, a lot of people that I know will only ever play zero build now because the building element of it isn't something they enjoy.
Yeah.
And I think going first person will do that again. I think it'll pull a lot of people out of stuff like Warzone 2 and into Fortnite because it's a better rounded, better polished, better balanced game. Whereas Warzone seems to consistently, you know, everyone's found a broken combo, like every other week there's a new one. Whereas Fortnite being better balanced, I think it stands to pull a fair bit of audience away from Warzone, which, you know, fair play to Epic, they're going after their competitors. Yeah. I've dabbled a bit in Rocket League as well, which I've never played a huge amount of, I guess. But again, it's like I can play a couple of like 5-10 minute games if I have a bit of time. And, you know, if Fortnite isn't what I feel like playing that night, if I want to play something a bit more arcadey. So, yeah, just been enjoying a little bit of that casually. Definitely not at the level of, you know, someone like Dan or Carl or the guys that play regularly, having played with some of them a little while back. Like, I'm not on that level and I never will be.
No, me neither.
But it's good fun to, you know, to try. And even though I could probably do, like, my competitive matches and be ranked, like, the bottom of bronze, just still fun to play very, very casually.
It'd still be better than me because I am absolutely shit at Rocket League. Like there's no, I mean, Dan and Carol will attest to this. Carol probably a little bit nicer about it. Dan will just get annoyed at me. But yeah, I'm very, very bad at Rocket League. Very bad.
So yeah, it's one of those things, like, despite the fact that I'm bad at it, I still quite like playing it every now and then. Whereas a lot of other games that I'm bad at, I just get pissed off and I'm like, yeah, I'm not playing this anymore. I played a little bit more Sonic Frontiers, just again, like dabbling for 20, 30 minutes. I bought it for my son. It's ultimately his game. but he won't touch it for months at a time. And I'm like, oh, I just want to do a little bit more for him. So when he comes back, he's got something else that's interesting to do.
Fair enough.
It's just like, it's a nice game. It's
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. And it's like, I haven't enjoyed a Sonic game that much since like the Sonic Adventure games when I was probably not much older than my son is now. So, you know, that's been great. And then, yeah, the big one for me, especially like the last couple of days, has been the Diablo 4 beta, which I kind of was like, I'm not going to play it because I have an issue with anything that has that sort of like loop-based loop to it. And I just, I will start playing it and then it will be getting light outside the next day before I've realised what's really going on. But I managed to get, I had about an hour and a half this morning while my wife was out with my little girl. So it's like, right, I'm just going to get a little bit of time in to decide whether this is or isn't going to be for me. But it's a short enough time that like I will have to cut myself off at some point. And yeah, it's everything I've liked about Diablo 3, and it's still got that addictive loop to it. It's very cool. It probably definitely wasn't appropriate to play with my 5-year-old sat next to me, but you know, I won't tell my wife about that. It's fine. But yeah, like it's an excellent game. I say I probably won't buy it on launch. If I've finished the other stuff I'm playing around when it comes out, I will buy it on launch. But I think it might be one of those things that I'm like, oh, you know, it'll be on Game Pass, or I'll get it for 15 quid less in 6 weeks' time when I've finished whatever else I'm playing. And also, the longer I don't have it for, the longer it is until I get like dangerously addicted to it and like, you know, abandon all my responsibilities as an adult just so that I can get some shiny loot.
It does seem to have been incredibly well received. I mean, between the closed beta last weekend and the open beta last weekend, I don't think I've seen, other than people moaning about the time to get in, which I think was always probably expected with these things. Yeah. I don't think I've seen many bad words said about it. I think everyone seems incredibly positive. That just seems to have that gameplay loop, that addictive loop, and everyone's just been desperate to play more and desperate for the full release now. And I think it's great to see, after another game that's probably been a long time coming, because this has been development for, what, 8 years or something like that?
Yeah, a long time. And especially coming off the back of Immortal, that was not looked on favourably at all because of all the microtransactions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of backlash went Blizzard's way because of Immortal, and rightly so. Like, I still agree with it all. But yeah, to have this be, you know, a good, genuine successor and improvement in pretty much every way, as far as I can tell, on Diablo 3, yeah, fair play to them. They've done a very good job, and hopefully, you know, the whole game ends up being as good as this beta has been, and the end game has the longevity to it that the previous one did.
Yeah. I look forward to finally trying it, because as I say, this beta's just beaten me. But I'll either pick it up or hope that we do get some sort of confirmation and when we'll finally see it in Game Pass when that deal closes, which would be nice.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
The only other thing I've played, and I played for about 3 or 4 days and played maybe half to 2/3 of the story missions for it, was Dirt 5. And the only reason I played it again was because, oh yeah, the Forza expansion's like very Dirt-esque. And I quite liked playing Dirt 5. Like when we did it for Cross Seasons, I got very into it. So yeah, I've been and played like the maybe 2/3 of the story now. Was insistent on getting like 2 stars or more on every single mission. And yeah, I've loved it. It's still an excellent game. It still looks absolutely phenomenal considering how old it is. And then I'm going to start the Forza expansion next week and probably be blown away by how much better that looks, because
yeah,
it just will.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I seen they released the achievement guide, not the achievement guide, but the achievement list and stuff for it the other day, and I'm like, looks like there's going to be plenty to do, so I'm quite happy with that. It'd be nice to just lose myself in Forza for a wee while again, because it has been a bit of time since I did that, so definitely looking forward to that. So that's what we've been playing. Here's what we could be playing as well in the next week or so. So this is what's coming to Game Pass. Some that's already there. So we've got Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom, the Prince's Edition, which came to Game Pass on the 21st of March. Then on the 28th, we have MLB The Show 23 on cloud and console. On the 30th, we have Infinite Guitars, cloud, console and PC. And then we also had announced we finally got a date for Ghostwire Tokyo coming to Game Pass on the 12th of April. So I feel like not a lot that's been announced recently. I feel like Game Pass has been a little bit...
Yeah, it's slowed down a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But in the it's not such a bad thing.
No. It's not, because there's plenty of there to already play, and I don't know whether it's a bit like... It's a bit like we've discussed before. Everyone seems to be either underplaying their hand or kind of being a bit coy with everything that's going on just around the politics of... this deal, and how much of that has impacted everything that's going on, I don't know. But, I mean, there's still been plenty to keep us busy.
I'm still spoiled for choice every time I open the Game Pass app, which is ultimately, you know, it's a good problem to have, and it's all you could ever really have asked for if you'd said a couple of years ago this was going to be a thing.
Yeah. You're going to be slightly less spoiled for choice because there's also games leaving, as always. So, leaving on the 31st, we've got A Memoir Blue, cloud console and PC, Chinatown Detective Agency, cloud console and PC, Cluster Truck and cloud console and PC, Double Dragon Neon, cloud and console, Kraken Academy, cloud console, PC, MLB The Show 22, unsurprisingly, with 23 coming on cloud console, and Power Rangers Battle for the Grid on cloud console and PC. So, that's another 8 games leaving. Which, I can't say there's anything there that I'm overly distraught about. I did play A Memoir Blue. That was quite an interesting little game. Little visual novel-y story type game. Decent enough.
I was just going to say, I thought I remembered you playing that. I'm kind of tempted to download and try Power... Well, I want to try Power Rangers with my son because he's having a massive Power Rangers phase. But it's just occurred to him that he's banned from video games for a little while. So maybe I won't.
Yeah, maybe not. No, if you can't be lenient now. If he's banned, he's banned. That's
no.
it.
No.
Yeah. Stick to your guns. But Tyler, I think that's it for tonight. Thank you again for joining me. All I have left to do is thank all of our patrons. So to Ethan Hunt, Steve Simpson, Nate Ellingsworth, Carl Hughes, Sean Hughes, Jason Frost, Sarah Purbrick, Rebecca Ridgenath, Luke Cooper, Kevin Scully, Mark Hammond, and Rune Storm. You too can become one of our Patreon producers at patreon.com/ the crossplayers from as little as £2. Thank you for listening to X Players, and hopefully it's been a pleasure. If you have any feedback or suggestions for our future episodes, please let us know. You can find us at the crossplayers on Twitter or email us thecrossplayersuk@gmail.com. We don't get many emails because we never give you your email address, but send us an email, let us know your thoughts. But always open to suggestions, and please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a little rating or review, because that always helps. Thank you once again for listening, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Thanks everyone, see you later.